that almost everyone in the building tonight would raise a hand. Yet, if I were to ask those of you who have seen the word "just say yes" on a bumper sticker, or in circumstances like that, I'm not for sure there would be many hands that would go up. We may very well have done a better job trying to teach our young people to just say no than we have to just say yes. I like the theme for Horizon: balance your act. And tonight I want to challenge you to balance your yeses and noes. Not only must your yea be yea and your nay, nay, Matthew 5, but it is important for each of us to let his way be established, neither turning to the right nor to the left, Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. And I believe the basic idea is in that word "established" there, and that we would not be doing any damage if we read it like this, or at least summarized it like this: let your way be balanced. Turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe very strongly that there are times when we should say no. And all of those lessons that you have heard, and all of the suggestions that have been made, and the challenges that have been presented to say no to drugs, immoral sexual activities, cheating, stealing, and things of that nature are certainly appropriate. Not only appropriate, they're scriptural. They're pleasing in the sight of God, and they definitely are giving us ideas that are best for us in this life as we prepare for that life that is to come. But is it not possible that we sometimes emphasize the no at the expense of forgetting the yes? And I'm here to tell you tonight that sometimes if we would teach the yes and get us involved in it, we would automatically take care of the no. Example: if you as an individual tonight really say yes to worship to God in this assembly, you won't even have to consider saying no to misbehavior. The yes, you see, takes care of the no. It is interesting to find this idea presented in Scripture, this idea of balance between the positive and the negative, the yes and the no. Paul said, "Timothy, a young preacher, you preach the word. And as you're preaching that word, whether it's in season or out of season, you reprove and you rebuke. You tell people to say no." But it's interesting that in that same passage, he says you encourage people. And you admonish people. And you tell them to say yes as well as to say no. Perhaps this is one of the best passages in 2 Timothy 4:2 for us to have balanced preaching. And we preachers need to be balanced in our teaching. We need to give the appropriate emphasis to the no's, but we also need to underscore the yeses as we talk about morality, as we talk about doctrine, as we talk about worship, service, life, whatever the subject is. In Titus, the second chapter in verse 11, beginning and continuing in 12, the subject of salvation is discussed, and he says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that," look at the no's, "denying ungodliness and worldly lust." Just say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. But he doesn't put a period there. He says when we say no to those things, we need to say yes to living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Say no to the things that are bad, but young people, especially, listen, say yes to the things that are good. And again, I would emphasize that if we spend our time saying yes to the things that are good, we may not have too much time to even consider the things that are bad. Most of you could quote the first few words of Hebrews 12. "Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," referring back to all those great stories in chapter 11, He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's say no to those things. Let's say no to sin. Let's say no to those weights that hold us back. But again, he continues, let's lay aside the weights and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, God wants us to learn to say yes to the things that are good. He wants us to say yes to those things that glorify him and give service to one another, at the same time that we say no to those things that can hurt us. You see, it is a balancing of your act with the yes and with the no. And perhaps there is no passage in the entire Bible that really points this out any better than the last several verses of Galatians 5. If you were to begin reading at about verse 19, 20, 21, you will read the works of the flesh. And folks, there are some sins in there that are terrible. There are some problems listed in that list that can tear down our lives, our homes, the community, the church. And you can just read that and you can see God saying through Paul, just say no to these works of the flesh. But I'm thankful the chapter didn't stop there. For when you get down, especially to verse 22, 23, in that area, he immediately says, but the works of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, are these. And he begins to list some of the greatest qualities of life and characteristics of people that are listed anywhere in the entire Bible. And just after telling us you need to say no to the works of the flesh, he immediately says you need to say yes to the fruits of the Spirit. If you and I are going to balance our act between the yeses and the noes, that's exactly what we have to do. Not only does Scripture point this out, but just common sense. One older farmer who was not well educated in the use of English was asked, do you have any, or what are you doing with your cotton boll weevils this year? And his answer was, I ain't got no boll weevils. You don't have any boll weevils? Why? Ain't got no cotton. He had no trouble with the boll weevils, but he had no cotton. You hire a yard boy to come and mow your yard, and you warn him especially about the flowers. Do not cut down any flowers. You come back, and he's sitting on the front porch smiling. He says, I did not cut down a flower. But I noticed the yard's not mowed. Well, I did not cut down a flower. Would you hire him to come back? Would you even pay him for that time? You know, young ladies and young gentlemen, you can take a test and not give a wrong answer and make a zero. You can take a test and not give a wrong answer and make a zero if you don't give the right answer. And I'll guarantee you that if you are on a baseball team and you play 10 games without making an error, but you don't make a hit, that you won't be on that team very long. Oh, coach, I haven't made an error all season. No, and you haven't made a hit either. I suspect somebody else will be wearing your glove and picking up your bat. You see, not only must we be concerned about the no's, we must be concerned about the yeses. The best way to say no to having enemies is to say yes to having friends. And one of the best things you can do, particularly this week, as you meet new people, is to say yes to friendship, and you have automatically taken care of the no to problems. Sometimes, because we have feelings, we hurt. And I suspect that even this week, there will be tears that are shed from the eyes of most of us because we have the ability to hurt. But you know, if we did not have the ability to hurt, we would not have the ability to love. If we did not have the ability to have to say no to some of those problems and deal with those problems, then our feelings that are involved in our ability to love and to say yes to those things that are good would also be gone. Aren't you thankful that we have the ability to feel, to have emotions, to love, to have friends, even though the fact that God created us in that way means that sometimes we do have to say no? I really think we are falling short on emphasizing to our younger generation and to all of us for that matter, just say yes. We may be majoring in telling people what not to do without getting around to showing them what God wants us to do. Think about some examples. At Exodus 4, the voice from the burning bush said, Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt and lead my people out. Moses said, no way, God. Why, listen, if I get down there, they won't believe me. And then God continued to talk to him, and Moses came back. Well, I said, if I get down there, they'll want to know who sent me, and I can't really prove to them. God said, I am sent you. You tell them that. Moses, I want you to go. I want you to say yes to this task that is before you. But God, no, listen, now, I can't do it. You see, I can't speak well. God answered that. God came back with an answer to every excuse that Moses made. He said, Moses, I want you to go. Moses said, no. God said, yes. And it's interesting that later in that chapter, the Bible makes a statement, and Moses went. God said, I want you to say yes, because I've got something for you to do. There was another man by the name of Jonah described a little bit later in the Old Testament. God said, Jonah, arise and go. Arise and go over here to Nineveh and tell them about their problem and help them to repent and turn to me. Jonah didn't want to go. In fact, God said, go in one direction. Jonah went directly in the other direction. God said, go. Jonah said, no. But God got his attention. And it's interesting, after several events had happened that you could describe as well as I, that the third chapter comes back in verse 2, and it says that God said to Jonah a second time, arise and go. The same message. God doesn't like no for an answer when he's talking about his work. He wants you and me to say yes. He wants us, when he says you go and do, he said, Jonah, arise and go. He wanted Jonah to say, yes, Lord, I'll be about your business. I need your help. Go with me. I'll go. I'll do the best I can do. But Jonah said no at first. And after he had been in the inside of the great fish and his attention had certainly turned to listen to God a little bit more, God again said, Jonah, I want you to go. And Jonah said yes. And look at what he accomplished. Switch your thinking from the Old Testament to the New Testament for just a moment. Think about the man by the name of Ananias. This is the Ananias that told Saul what to do to become a Christian. You know how God, or how Christ had appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, got his attention, made a believer of him. He said, you go into Damascus and it'll be told you what you must do, Acts 9, verse 6. Later in that chapter, the voice of the Lord came to Ananias. Ananias, I want you to go down and teach Saul of Tarsus how to become a Christian. Now, whoa, wait just a minute. God, you mean you want me to go and tell that persecutor of the church who is a murderer, who's been bringing back Christians to be put to death? I heard another preacher talking about that subject back a few months ago, and he said, I'm just rather sure that Saul of Tarsus was not on Ananias' prospect list. He said, Ananias, I want you to go. And after a little bit of argument, Ananias was convinced, and he said yes when God said go. He told Saul of Tarsus what to do. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul did that and became a Christian, became one of the most powerful preachers that had ever lived. But look at the part that Ananias played. If he had not said yes, well, maybe God would have chosen somebody else. But if Ananias had not said yes to what God said, he would not have been involved in that great work of bringing Saul of Tarsus to where he was a Christian, where he did so much for the cause of Jesus Christ. Folks, we must learn to say yes. Son, go work in my vineyard today, the father said in Matthew 21. One son said, no, father, I won't go. Later, he repented and said yes. And that may be exactly where many of us are tonight. We may have said no to the positive things too long. Sometimes our lives are out of balance because we're saying yes to the negative things and no to the positive things. We need to balance our act. We need to say no when those appropriate. Those things that promote the devil and his work and would fight against God and his work, to each one of those, let's be strong enough to say no. Let's stand up and say no. But folks, we need to learn to say yes. We need to learn to say yes when God says go. We need to learn to say yes when God says do. And I challenge you with the idea that this week there will be many opportunities to say yes. You may say it with a smile as you help make someone's day. It may be just an encouraging word. It may be meeting a new friend and helping that person to feel better and to be a better person when this week is over. It may be an opportunity on the job. It may even be in the family circle. It may be in the work of the church. There are going to be those times where God says go and God says do. God gives us the opportunity. And we need to learn to just say yes. I've always been impressed with analysis of the judgment scene of Matthew 25, where the people were separated as sheep and the goats. There is not one thing mentioned in that entire judgment that has to do with a no to sin. Every problem, every point that is addressed, is because people failed to say yes to opportunities and lost their souls because of it. Whereas on the other hand, the people said yes to the sick, those that were hurting in other ways. It's only a balance when we learn to say no and learn to say yes when it is appropriate. Jesus was left behind at age 12. The Jesus who made no sin, who did no sin, made no mistakes in his entire life. The Jesus who somehow or other had the ability to say no, especially those three great times when he was tempted of Satan, is the same Jesus who described his life at age 12 as being about my Father's business. Young people, if you will say yes to your Father's business, it will be easier to say no when no is needed. We must balance our yeses and our noes. And right now, it may be a time that some of you need to say yes to the invitation of Jesus Christ. Come unto me. Come confess me. Be buried with me in baptism for the remission of sins. That's the request to those of you who are not Christians. Come home, repent, confess, pray to God for forgiveness. That's the invitation from Christ to those who've gone astray. The question is, are we going to say yes to the challenge that the Lord gives us? Balance your act, yes and no. And especially at this time, say yes to Christ as together we sing.
In the middle of that drunk man's prayer said, "Hallelujah, he's saved." he called on the name of the Lord. Folks, calling on the name of the Lord means doing what the Lord wants us to do. We don't call on the name of the Lord just by saying Lord, Lord, or Lordy, or even Lord in a serious way from the mouth. We call on the name of the Lord by saying and doing, as Jesus himself did, recorded in Acts 1:1-2. Ananias.